Necros, patches, and primals. Oh my. Necros, patches, and primals. Oh my. Necros, patches, and primals. Oh my. Oh my gosh. We have got quite a bit to go through and talk about on the show this week, as we have just had a whole bunch of news. I think this is probably going to be some of the most that we might have to go and talk about since BlizzCon, because this one has been a biggie. And so if you haven't figured it out by now, welcome to Westmarch Workshop episode 110, Necros, Patches, and Primals. Oh my. And I would just like to take a second to go through and thank our sponsors, Intel and Legion by Lenovo, that help go through and sponsor BlizzPro and help us out with, you know, going through and getting not just Westmarch Workshop, but all of our podcasts better equipped with which to go through and, you know, do our jobs with video editing and stuff. So definitely a big shout out to them. As well as, of course, BlizzPro itself, that gives us this wonderful platform to go and perform and talk with you guys. As you probably have already realized by now, if you're watching the YouTube video or live here on Twitch, for those of you that are still waiting for that other lovely dulcet tones of my co-host Leviathan on the, if you're listening to the audio version or on iTunes, Leviathan could not make it tonight. As I was telling people in the pre-show earlier, yeah, he unfortunately is very ill at the moment and just did not have the energy to go through and make it up. You might have already noticed that he's already taken a couple days off streaming, so go ahead, show that man some love. Go hit him up on twitter.com/leviathand3 and just let him know that, send him some well wishes, probably warm wishes given how cold it is up in Boston there. And maybe some pictures of cats and chicken noodle soup. I don't know, that should make anyone feel better, right? But yes, it has been quite the past couple of weeks. Unfortunately, I have not had all that much progress that I've been making in Diablo. I've gotten myself up. I am one mark away. What would I want to say that? I am just one achievement, not achievement. Dang it, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. But I'm just, all I need is a T13 Rift in 5 minutes in order to go through and get Conqueror for this season and to get my stash tab, since I missed the stash tab on the previous season, in order to go through and get that finished and set up. But my connection with my internet has been really crap like this past week and a half, so I really haven't been wanting to test it too much with which to play on hardcore. Some of you in clan might have noticed me. I might pop on for a little bit here or there when my connection's been stable for a while, late at night. I don't know what the issues I've been having with Comcast is, but they've been making it pretty wonky to go through and try to play. It's unfortunate, you know. Once they've got all the new networking equipment a couple months ago, all of my connection issues seem to have disappeared, but Comcast is back and saying, nope, not this week, not this season. And for those of you that were going through and hanging out in the pre-show, we also, our episode was delayed by like an hour tonight. Not, of course, due to, unfortunately, Leviathan not being able to join us, but apparently there was some other issues between, like, Comcast or Twitch or something like that. I was just not able to connect to any of the East Coast servers. So if there's any issues with the stream here tonight or any artifacts you might hear in the recording or on YouTube, it's unfortunate because I'm living in Florida and connected to the LA Twitch server, which was the only one that I could actually get myself up and running here tonight. It just would not let me connect earlier. So again, saying sorry, not sorry. No, actually, I am sorry on this one. If there are any problems or artifacts that might appear or pop up or lag with the stream tonight. But I guess without further ado, we just have so much to talk about. I do want to take a second, because Leviathan is not here. We're going to hold off on the challenge coins until next episode. So we will go through and let you know the winners for the previous one. Unfortunately, I don't have access to the site to actually check and see who the winner was. for the little contest that we ran, unfortunately. We will get that one. We probably will get that one out before next episode. We'll contact the winners and we'll just then announce it on the next show, and then we will do the contest for the next set of challenge coins on the next show. So stay tuned. We'll let you know for that one. But yeah, there's still two more chances to win challenge coins. Well, I guess one more chance, and we're giving away two challenge coins for the next episode that we'll have coming up on the 15th. But of course, we have I guess two big things and one little itty bitty minor thing that kind of was overshadowed by everything else. So we're going to go ahead and start with that one. Is last week on the 24th, we had a mini Developer Chronicles Q&A follow-up where they wanted to go through and follow up with a lot of the questions that they had done when they did their live stream back in December. There was some follow-ups that they wanted to provide with some of the questions that they felt required a bit more of a more in-depth answer. And so we got a couple questions answered, and of course some of these weren't necessarily the answers we were particularly looking for, such as they asked particularly, are you satisfied with the Paragon system and do you intend to make any changes to it? And this is something the community has been kind of a sore spot for, is just the infinite scaling of Paragons and how the end game for seasonal progression becomes just, well, who can farm the most Paragon levels? Because by the time that you're at, Paragon 1500 or whatever, your gear is all the same. There's no longer any real difference between your gear. It's just how much time you can dedicate in order to go through and farm up your Paragons to a smaller extent. That will then affect your legendary gems, which will give you another little boost in power since you can do the next higher grade of Rift than what your competitors are doing. And they really don't, it's their response basically was the purpose of the Paragon system was to provide you with a continual goal so that way you always feel like you achieve something every time that you log in. Even if you gain just that much experience progress, you've done something that has contributed towards the power of your character. So they feel that is something, that it's fulfilling its purpose. And they're happy with it. They don't plan on making any particular changes to it. Which also somewhat ties in with the next question is, do you plan on creating any new systems to compete with Greater Rifts as in-game? And they said they don't really have any plans of adding a new system that occupies the same design space as Greater Rifts, so something that you'd be doing in place of it, namely for the in-game being loot acquisition and farming Paragon levels. But they hope that they might have something with the challenge rifts. So that might provide maybe an alternate way of playing. If you kind of get burnt out on the item grind or the challenge rifts, that is not meant to directly compete with it for the where it sits like in that design pyramid. So it's not something that you're going to do truly to better your character. It's something that's just going to be there that you might use to spend more time on to make the game more interesting. It gives you something else to do, though it might not directly be empowering your character, since you'll be playing pre-made characters. And last we were told that the rewards for it is going to be like a bounty bag or maybe a couple bounty bags. And we have no idea whether that's just the first time that you beat the rift time, or if they'll get that for subsequent clears or what have you. If it works anything like the Heroes or Hearthstone brawls, it probably will be like a singular reward. And then it's just whether you want to continue on from there to try and get the best time for that particular season. And they're hoping that that might draw a little bit more of the focus for those looking for a competitive aspect, besides just the end of season leaderboards, that you might have people that push the challenge rifts in more of a competitive sense. And then the final question that they had, which is one that I found really interesting, and it wasn't one that was specifically asked for the Q&A, but the gist of this question was asked in many different forms, and is that, why is it that changes that you make might not necessarily have a heavy impact on the meta? If you go through and you make a set change or add in a new item, and it doesn't replace the current top build for the class. And this is something that Steven and I have talked about a couple of times, particularly on the last few episodes, where that their answer goes into they look to maybe shake things up a little bit with the addition of an item, but they might also be looking to better a niche with another item or skill or buff, so that they it might be adding in something that helps out with a speed farm set for going and doing your Torment 13 rifts in order to get your greater rift keys, but isn't going to compete for your greater rift clears whatsoever. And they're perfectly okay with that. And maybe tuning sets to make them a little bit better in those regards. And so they don't, and they also want to make it clear that a lot of times that their design choices aren't made with the intention to determine what the meta should be. They don't want to make new additions that makes it so that way if they add in a new item, that everyone absolutely has to go through and play that new particular item, or they'll be left in the dust. Now, sometimes it does work out like that with the new electricity wizards, but they might look for something that maybe competes with it a little bit, and then they can always go back in and tweak numbers. As we see, we were harking on the barber and how it was going to be the new in-game build for witch doctors, and then they nerfed it and nerfed it and nerfed it, and then it became, well, it's not really filled any place whatsoever for a witch doctor, and so it was just left behind. And then in one of the other topics I'll be covering later, the new PTR for patch 2.5, they went through and they buffed the barber, and so that might have its ability to get back into the meta, re-added in. So we'll wait and see on that one. But yeah, it's a couple of little interesting points that they came up there, and of course, a lot of people are looking for a change to the Paragon system, and they don't want the in-game grind to be 100% just who gets the best Paragon levels, and they may have been tweaking around a little bit with that, as we see when we'll get into the PTR notes, which I guess, why not? Let's go ahead and hit the PTR. We, of course, have the Necromancer Q&A that we'll want to spend some time and delve into. And that is probably going to be something I want to talk with in length because it's new stuff. It's Necromancer. It's got me all excited and tingly inside. So with patch the new PTR, which kind of came as a surprise. Normally, we're at least notified like a day ahead as they go and they load files over to the PTR. What is it? Diablo fans is normally really good about going through and seeing that before the PTR itself gets the files uploaded before the PTR goes live, and they'll go and have a data mine for it. But I guess I don't know if something changed in the background, but this one definitely hit us. With all of a sudden, it's just like boom, patch notes and a PTR. It's like we had no warning. Though this does fall in line with the time frame, since we had the new patch and the new season hit at the beginning of January, that we should expect about a month in that we'd get the PTR for the next patch for the next season, if there will be a patch and a PTR. As we saw with season 8, that's not a given. It won't always be there. To always have an update for it, but we can at least have the expectation that most of the seasons this year will have it with things such as the new armory, the crafting mat storage, and eventually the Necromancer and challenge rifts that we'll get. But with patch 2.5, it is this one's definitely like a quality of life patch with what we have so far. The big additions are going to be the armory, which finally is going to allow us to go and save pre-made sets as well as skill builds that we can easily go flip back and forth between. And then all you really have to do is reset your legendary gems. All the other gems it's going to go through and hold for you. And it will just it makes swapping between your speed farm set and your greater rift pushing set so much easier. No more going through and it's like, well, I changed my gear, I changed my skills, but ah, crap, I forgot to go through and change the cube. I've got to exit this greater rift in Now completely start over. Why did it take so long for me to go through and finish all these bounties? Oh, yeah, because I didn't reset the stuff in my cube. It was still my greater rift, my like high tier, greater rift pushes is what I'm set for. And so that's something that we've definitely been longing for and hoping for. We were talking about whether we were going to get it in this next season or whether it was going to, hit us, sometime later, like July-ish, when we get it. But definitely glad to see it here. That means that there is a small little bit of hope that the Necromancer will be in season 11. Well, we don't know. That one. And let's not jump ahead of ourselves too much. The other big change is, of course, the crafting mat storage. So now, whenever you pick up a crafting material, it's not going to be put into your inventory. It's a completely different system that works more like gold and blood shards. So you do still have to click them to pick them up. It's not going to be an auto pickup like blood shards or gold are, but you just go through, pick them up, and it's automatically added into a different tab. No more. Taking up inventory and your stash or your character. And one of the other nice things is this should also be the update where the Kanai's Cube will pull those crafting mats instantly for whichever recipe that you want to do. So if you're wanting to go through and say roll a whole bunch of rares into legendaries, it should speed up that process considerably because there's no more having to go and click through all the materials and then click transmute and click through all the materials and then click transmute. It's going to be a lot faster, a lot nicer. And those are actually like the biggest changes. There's very minor tweaks to the game as far as items and sets go. And I don't they can always go and add in more. As we saw in the last patch, they did a whole bunch of set tweaks very late into the PTR. And we'll have to wait and see if they do anything else with it, but at the moment, the only class change that they've done is with the Crusader Shield Glare, the Divine Verdict rune has been updated to apply its secondary effect, even if the target is immune to crowd control effects. So that way, if you come across something where its CC timer has made it immune or it has the Juggernaut affix, you should still be going through and getting that little boost from Divine Verdict. They doubled the proc chance of Reinhardt, so it now went from a 10 to 20% proc chance. Don't know if that's going to be enough in order to make the Reinhardt, back into the meta. Well, there's no real big cold builds, but we'll have to wait and see. And then Strong Arm Bracers has also gotten a little bit of a rework. Now the damage bonus is applied as immediately when the knockback occurs. Before it was you had a little bit of a delay because it wasn't until the enemy landed from the knockback that the damage bonus was applied. And they also have increased the duration to 6 seconds. So it's a nice little buff, at least to make the Strong Arm Bracers. It isn't so much to make it more powerful per se, but it should make it a bit more consistent in its usage. So that way, you might go through, pull everything in, like say with a Cyclone Strike, and while the enemies are being pulled in through the air, you or if you're playing a Zeep DPS, not you, but if you're someone else in your party, particularly like with how nuanced the electricity wizards or lightning wizards are right now, how if they're being pulled through the air when they get stunned in order to go through and activate the Manald Ring, that they won't get the damage bonus for the Strong Arm Bracers. So it just basically makes it more consistent and easier to read and understand. And then of course, what I was saying earlier, they've went back and they've buffed the Barber by adding the explosion back to the end of the channel. Sorry, they added the damage bonus back to the end of the channel. So that way, when it goes through and explodes, it will explode for a multiplier of how much damage it did to the enemies while you're going through and channeling the skill. Which is what really made it shine, that instead of having the dot effect, that it calculates up all the damage that you would do while you're channeling, and then it would explode as an AoE, so it kind of turned it into a delayed AoE skill. And the first iteration of the Barber also then added a multiplier on top of that, so it increased the overall damage by like 200%. And if you had the Phantasms, you could actually have a couple channels going at once, so you'd have, you know, the multiple channels going, which would then be multiplied by the bonus added to the explosion at the end, which was, you know, killing packs in like a single channel. It was making it for a really good, fun, interesting build. We'll, you know, wait and see if they're happy with how the mechanic works out, if they could tweak the damage numbers a little bit through this PTR, because it looks like they just weren't happy with how it was working out for whatever reason in the last PTR, but it's something that they really want to do. And so they're giving themselves another shot at that. And then finally, they have the Manald Ring now. Wizard pets, such as the Hydra, can now also proc the damage component. Normally, for most things, pets have a proc rate of zero, so they can't proc effects, and they have to go back in and specifically tweak their mechanics for particular skills in order to allow them to proc those. There's also some other small little changes. They nerfed a couple of the set dungeons to make them a little bit easier. They have added in new requirements for public games. So before you can queue up for a public game, a particular set difficulty, such as if you want to queue for a public game set at Torment 13, you had to have cleared a Greater Rift 60 solo. So it's making it so someone can't just immediately hop into a high torment game and just leech off of people running rifts. Nice change. And then a huge, huge quality of life improvement. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know this has been a pet peeve of both Leviathan and myself, that they now are no longer, they've no longer have bonus acts for bounties. Bounties just give with that base amount. So now bounties have been buffed to give double the amount of crafting mats, and they've removed the bonus acts. So you no longer have to do them in order. You don't have to worry about turning them in the proper sequence if you've done a split farming with people. It makes it better. So that way, if you're going and you're doing a full set of bounties and you get disconnected halfway through, you don't have to go and farm like those other couple acts twice in order to, because you're missing the bonus act from them. You can now just go and farm the acts that you're missing. It is a beautiful change. I know I would love to be able to go through and take credit on that one with how much we've complained about it on this show, but we weren't the only ones complaining about it. So I know that one is something that has been a lot of feedback from the community about wanting that change to go away, and I'm glad that they finally have, because honestly, it was a mechanic that was created to stop farming for people from farming just one particular act, namely Act 1, and to get them farming all of the acts. But I think the bounty mats themselves do a good enough job, so that way you can just go through, do it in any order that you want, and not get penalized for a disconnect or something else preventing you from completing the full series of bounties. And I think that's something that I'll actually just like better, since I won't have to sit down and dedicate so much time just to going through and running bounties. It always feels a lot longer than it actually takes to do the whole run of bounties, but the fact that I can break it up and like do a couple rifts, then one act of bounties, and then a couple more rifts, and then another act of bounties, it'll just make the night so much better. So I'm glad that that is all set up. And yeah, one other change that they went through and added, and this one has taken some people by a little bit of a surprise, and they've added in a new tier of items called Primal Ancients to the game. And this one has set up some discussions, rants, complaining, outright bitching. I don't know what the proper word to describe that one would be, looking around at the reaction with the community. But in essence, a primal ancient is an ancient ancient. And from what data we've seen and collected on the PTR so far, it pretty much follows the same pattern that the ancients do. It has around a 1% base drop rate before difficulty scaling is factored in. And since ancients are a 10% drop rate on your legendaries, it's the 10% of 10%. So its drop rate is, an ancient ancient. And then if you go and you look at the stats, with a few exceptions, most of the stats have all been increased by 30%, which is, an ancient as an increase of roughly 30% on a base legendary. And a primal is 30% better than an ancient. Two exceptions I know of at the moment are weapon damage. Weapon damage has only seemed to have increased by around 18, 19-ish percent. And the average damage roll on jewelry, the base damage roll that you can get on jewelry, seems to have been increased by around 33 to 35%. So that one is scaled a little bit higher and has already sparked some people going through and having some interesting discussion whether that average damage on rings might end up being one of the best stats to go through and roll, because now the bonus itself is getting pretty significant in addition to just the base stat increase you're going to have from your gear if you're going to go through and have fully decked out in Primal Ancients. And then, of course, that allowing you to progress to higher greater rifts, which will then lead to higher legendary gems, which will then lead to higher item augments, that your base stats are going to be scaling up a lot higher, and that it might just be that the average damage on the rings might just be getting such, since it's starting at such a high base and then applying all of your attribute bonuses to it, might find its way into itemization. They're still going through doing the math hammer on that one, so we might actually have more to talk about in the next episode on that and see if things, as far as itemization, is being shaken up with it. But the big thing that people are going through and complaining about is they just see this as an unneeded inflation of stats. That again, it's just going through and creating a new tier as a quote lazy itemization, and that is just a false inflation of power levels. And I mean, I guess it is kind of true from that point of view. But as if I really wish that Leviathan was here for this episode right now, because he would speak to this a lot more than I would. I mean, even for me going through and casually playing and only getting around to like Paragon 700, 800, in a season, I pretty much will go through and have a fully ancient out character. It's not 100% perfect stats on everything. And some conversations that I've seen, before this whole discussion with the PTR, with some higher end players on both the forums and on Reddit, is that like you're not aren't you really aren't fully itemized until you're somewhere around like Paragon 1000, just because you want everything to go through and be perfect, so that way you can start going and throwing, level 80, level 90, maybe even, depending upon how high you go, level 100 gems. To augment that gear, because you're not going to go through and farm up something to level legendary gem to 95 and put it on a piece of gear that you expect to find a better one of. At that point, once you get to the Paragon 1000, your gear is pretty much set, done, and then your only way of gaining power is to grind up Paragon levels that will get you higher, greater rifts to then increase your augments for the higher level legendary gems for your higher level augments. So it's just like the small little incremental growth from that point. But then it's at that point that it really turns into the Paragon grind instead of the loot grind. But then, when you go on from like Paragon 1000 to, 1800 or 2000, whatever you might reach within the season, you really don't find any other item upgrades at that point. Your items are all done and set. The only thing you're doing is just leveling up higher level legendary gems to augment your stuff. The primal ancients are for those people. They're not, they're not for me. They're just not. With the amount that I play within a given season, I have no realistic expectation to go through and get a full set of primals. I'm not competing in the leaderboards, and so it's not really going to affect me. The question for the people at the higher end is, with a base like 1% drop rate, even though that's going to scale up, that's still going to be extremely low with how how much they're going to drop. Is there an expectation for those players to be fully primaled out by the time that they hit the end of the season? That's going to be the question. And that's going to be whether actually how much it affects those people for the higher end. You know, because that was one thing that we used to complain about when Ancients were first introduced. You know, is the make or break on your leaderboard going to be finding an ancient weapon? Like at the time we were talking about, you know, is an ancient furnace going to be the person that's number one versus the one that's number two? You know, because they got lucky and got a well-rolled ancient. Now it's just an expectation that everybody rolls ancients. And now with the new primals, it could add, it could change that up a little bit. I don't know. It might not. I think that if it is something that there might not be the expectation for someone to be someone that reaches Paragon 2000 within a season, that there should be an expectation that once they're at that level, they probably should be fully primaled out. And that's going to send your max Greater Rift level up by a lot. Because we're talking, you know, a 30% increase in the base stats that you get from your gear, where it's not going to be a 30% increase in your overall stats because you get so much from your Paragon levels, as well as the augments, which the augments will be slightly affected by this because it means that you'll be able to go through and get a higher grade of rifts, but not by that much. The other interesting thing, and that ties back into some of the things that I covered earlier in the episode, is that this actually reduces the effectiveness of Paragon points. You know, because the way that the Paragon interaction works, it really only matters when you're talking about hundreds of Paragon levels at a time to make any realistic difference. And when your base stats themselves from your gear are going to be, you know, 1,000, 2,000 higher if you're fully primaled out, you know, that is a that's basically nullifying a couple hundred Paragon levels, and then even a couple hundred more than that, the difference is really negligible. This is kind of, you know, an answer to the Paragon grind, because it reduces the effectiveness, because all of that is just their additive bonus. You know, it's not a multiplicative bonus. You know, it's like if you go through and I'm Paragon, you know, 1,000, and I've got, you know, 15,000 dexterity, another 100 levels, and, you know, I've only increased my stats by 500. I've went from 1,500 to 15,000 to 15,500. It's a very, very minor percentage gain in power. And now if we go through and now, you know, say the difference is, you know, 17,000 to 17,500, then the difference then is even smaller. So I think that it's an interesting way of going through and doing it. I guess it's going to have to remain to be seen. And I guess this goes into one of those things when I talked about a lot immediately after BlizzCon, when people were complaining about the Darkening of Tristram, that I honestly want to say that there probably was not a lot of development time that went into creating, you know, Primal Ancients. And so, you know, this is something that was added in for an extremely low opportunity cost. And so now, if you're a casual player like me and come across a, you know, a Primal Ancient weapon, oh shit, you know, things just got real. That is great. That is awesome. You know, it's, I have something to look forward to, that I might get the small sprinkling of a couple pieces of Primal Ancients as I go and play. It's not going to make or break my expectations of the game, unless they continue to go through and say, up the requirements for seasons in order to go through and get Guardian to coincide with the introduction of Primals and, like, up everything by another, like, 20 greater Rift levels, then it might affect me. Then I might see some of the arguments that people are going through and making on the forums and Reddit. But that isn't the case just yet. So for, at the moment, I think that this is a great... I mean, it's like, it's new... It's new gear. It's new content that's went through and is added in. It's something else to be excited about as you're going through and playing the game, and you go through and you identify that item, and all of a sudden, oh shit, It's a primal. That's awesome. That's great. And then for the people that are like Leviathan, they're going through and doing these in-game leaderboards. This is something that for them, I've heard nothing but positive stuff from, because this increases some of their enjoyment aspect even further. Because like I was saying before, once they get to a certain level, their item find is done. That's it. It's over. And then it's just Paragon grinding and greater legendary gym leveling. This extends out the gear hunt for them, so that way every piece of gear that they pick up is no longer just legendary soul. Oh, this is potentially a primal. It's potentially another item upgrade. So it extends level of enjoyment for them. So, that's my take on it. That is a little bit of Leviathan's take from some discussions that we've had in Slack. But of course, in order to go through and get his feelings on it, you're gonna have to wait till next episode. And I really look forward to having a more in-depth discussion with him about primals, just because he is a lot more of a hardcore player with both the capital and lowercase h than I am, to go through and see what this means to him. Because so far he seems to really like and is for this change, despite what a lot of the complaining within the community is. And even for me, I think that is going to be I think it's going to be awesome. And so yeah, that is that. I mean, that is all the patch notes. It for going through and being an actual next big patch, 2.5 as opposed to patch 2.4.4.5 or whatever. It's not a lot, but I mean, it's some big changes. The armory, the crafting mat storage, and these new primal ancients, those are big. Those are really nice. That's going to be enough that like, might not like really shake up the meta per se with what classes are better than others, but it definitely is going to shake up the higher end leaderboards for the next season, and we will definitely see the higher end push even further. And this is going to be interesting because even though we'll see the higher end Greater Rift levels get pushed further, the kind of average with the more casual players like myself is going to more or less stay the same. There might be a little bit increases for those lucky enough to go through and get a Primal Ancient weapon, but it probably shouldn't be too much of a shakeup, kind of in the mid ranges. That is, of course, they could potentially go through and tweak the drop rates of primals, make them a little tiny bit more common. I don't know. The PTR has barely been out for a day, so we'll definitely have more to talk about that on the next episode, and definitely look forward to seeing what else they might have in store for us. And now, of course, the big one, the one that I've been saving, the one that I've been waiting for, that I'm really, really looking forward to, the Necromancer Q&A. Oh my gosh, this answered so many questions I didn't even know to ask. Well, not really, because one of the questions I did actually ask for the Facebook post was, "Is Revive coming? And how would you do it?" They didn't answer my question specifically, but the devs spent a lot of time answering questions about Revive, and oh my god, praise be to Rathma on this one. But yeah, Revive is coming back, and it is Revive. It is going to be that badass, Fishymancer, Lagromancer skill that you all loved and hoped for. I'm getting too excited and jumping through things here, but shit, let's just go straight in and talk for the next 15 minutes about Revive and what this entails. So, for those that might have not played a Necromancer in Diablo 2, they had the ability called Revive, where they were more known for being able to summon a whole bunch of skeletons and a golem that was running around. One of the true powers of the summoning necro is their ability to go through and revive killed monsters. It would come back and have the same stats that the monster did, minus the scaling of increased players. And normally that meant going through and hunting specific monsters for certain abilities, like the big kind of giant minions that were in like the Duros of Hatred or the Harem, the dungeon that you had to go through a little bit, a couple of levels before you went into the Arcane Sanctuary. Because they're a monster that base had Crushing Blow. And so it was something that could go through and help a summon necromancer really kill bosses. Because you could just go through, get them to go and attack your, Uber Mephisto or whatever it is that you're going and fighting. And because it had Crushing Blow based on their attacks, it would help, chunk it down. And, it was kind of a long shot. I did not know whether they would actually go through and do this. Just because of what a undertaking and a programming nightmare that must be, and they are going and bringing it back despite that, and they actually acknowledge the fact that it is a massive, massive undertaking. And one of the things that they said, like, this is actually coming across of like one of the most challenging aspects of making the Necromancer. Because there are over 1,000 unique monster models within the game, and so Revive is going to potentially have the work on each and every one of those, and then the 6 different versions of Revive that there will be with all of the runes. So the art undertaking alone of being able to go through and codify your revived monsters and then making them different for so that way you can see each one of the revived runes on the monsters that you've revived is massive, to say the least. But that sounds freaking awesome, and that's why they're doing it. Because despite the fact that it is such a huge undertaking, because the ability itself just sounds so flippin' cool, they had to do it. They sat down, it's like, this is something that has to be done, because this is gonna be like the greatest thing ever. And so they're doing it. It's like, what is it? It's like the JFK speech. We don't do this because it is easy, we do this because it is hard. And so it's just really, really awesome to see the dedication that they're going through and putting into this to go and make it. And now this is going to be one of those ones where you're going to have like your revive summon necromancer build where you're going to have to go to Pandemonium Fortress 2 in order to go through and get this particular like executioner to spawn, so that way you can go and revive a whole bunch of them to then go through and do your greater rift clear, because they have this and such attack that does this component and stuff. And it's going to be oh so overly complicated, I'm sure, but it's going to be sweet and awesome and completely worthwhile. And you absolutely know if they're putting this much time and effort into it, one of the sets is going to be a summoning set, and it is going to buff the ever-loving shit out of Revive. Calling it now. It's that easy. They're not going to put this much work and then have no one use Revive. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. It's going to do it. It's absolutely going to be there. And I guess going off of the Revive hype train just a little bit here, as I mentioned, sets. Now, this is also something that came as a bit of a surprise. At BlizzCon, Wyatt was talking about us getting one, maybe two sets for the Necromancer, and the others would be fleshed out from there. This has changed in the Q&A, where we're told that the Necromancer will launch with 4 fully fleshed out sets. So they will have all 4 sets when we go through and get the Necromancer pack in the second half of 2017. So that is going to be awesome. You will have all of those different types of playstyles available. What exactly those playstyles are, we're not quite sure yet. One of them will be summoning. Yeah. One might be Corpse Explosion, and another one might be Blood, which I'll get to in a little bit. But it is really cool that they are going to take the time and the effort to make sure that they have 4 full sets to go through and play, before it gets released. Now, don't expect, of course, all of them to be Greater Rift in-game capable builds. One of them will probably be relegated for speed farming, and then out of the other remaining 3, one is going to be better than the others when it comes to, in-game Greater Rift pushing. We just don't know what it is that they're going to be, what shapes that they're going to take. But they have given us some ideas as to the types of skills that they're going through and developing for the Necromancer. They did specifically answer that there will be some love given to Melee Mancers. There are going to be some close range, up in your face type skills so that way you'll be able to go through and do kind of a close range fighter style. Will this mean that there'll be a set revolving around that? Don't know, because we have no idea what those skills might be. One negative thing I will say that does make me sad is the fact that there seems to be no intention whatsoever of doing any type of poison skill. So the rest in peace, the poison necro. This is one that Steven actually had made some comments on previously. That what if it is a Nova of bone spears? Doesn't that fulfill like the same kind of play style without it being poison? Wouldn't that be like the same thing? And so that way it'd give you like that same experience, and it's like kind of have to concede that point because yeah, it kind of does. And when thinking about it, there of course there were only three poison skills for the Necromancer: Poison Dagger, Poison Explosion, and Poison Nova. And you've only ever used Poison Nova. The other ones just weren't all that great. Yeah, it's a little bit sad to see an iconic spec go, but I do understand there's just a little bit too much overlap with the Witch Doctor on that one, and they're wanting to go through and of course focus on the summoning, which Revive is going to be a part of. They seem to have that secondary resource mechanic of corpses for necromancers. There might be some stuff around that with corpse explosion. There of course will be curses, which probably will just be more of a buff debuff supplemental to whatever else it is that you're playing. And then we have blood. And they talked a lot about blood in the archetype and how it kind of added flavor to the art style and the development and concepts of the Necromancer. And we got to see a couple blood skills in the demo at BlizzCon with the Drain Essence, where they're kind of ripping the blood and guts out of their opponent and drawing into themselves and healing them with like the blood of their enemies, as well as like kind of like the Blood Rush, where they break their party, they break their body apart, and just like they shove their blood forward and then reform their body around it, at another point, which was just, it was such a smooth movement skill. It seemed to have like the range and the speed of dashing strike for the monks, but doesn't have like that jarring effect. It just felt fluid. It just felt so much better to use. But it now apparently is turning into a play style all of its own in their internal testing. And the question that specifically was asked is, will the Necromancer have skills that do damage to itself in order to like buff their spells or cast their spells? And they said that yes. And this is something that they're kind of excited about. It has become a build in and of itself. It's kind of like this blood build where you're sacrificing your health in order to like empower some skills, but then you're also using those blood skills to then draw all of your health back from your enemies. And so it's making this kind of like give and take play style, which as a hardcore player really has me interested of going through and using your health as kind of like a resource mechanic. And just because it might be kind of like I don't know, I want to say like an edgy build, but that sounds bad. Not something that you'd want to do, but it just it has the challenge of it is what makes me a little bit interested in that respect, and so I can't wait to go through and see more of the Necromancer and what they might have developed. Hopefully, in future Developer Chronicles blogs or videos or who knows what they might do in the future. Considering like if you look at some of the stuff that they've done with Hearthstone. Overwatch, where they bring in streamers and pro players to go through and preview like the new heroes and stuff to go and test it out and see, well, this looks awesome, to then go and kind of have like a little press tour. If they do something like that with the Necromancer, it would be awesome just to see some people get some hands-on time with the Necromancer and test it out before it goes to its PTR, whenever that might be. Excuse me. Well, they did say that they will not really have anything that's going to be like a dot based, so you're not going to have anything with like causing your enemies to burn or anything with dots to do damage over time, because they feel just like poison that just overlaps with the Witch Doctor too much, and so they're not going to go through and do that. One other thing that they did say is that there will not be a special form. No, sadly, there will be no vampire form for necromancers, so you're not going to get Like the Wrath of the Berserker or Vengeance skill for the Necromancer that will go through and like go through and buff them up or turn them into a different form. They will be having a return of a lot of curses, though they did say that there probably won't be much interaction with Iron Maiden. They don't like the playstyle, and so it probably won't be coming back. Though if a couple episodes ago, on one of my previous solo episodes, I was talking about how you could probably do like a decent like Iron Maiden build where you could drop a skill on the ground and made it so that way it buffed all of your thorns damage when you went through and attacked, kind of like the Frenzy or in Frenzy Barbarian or Invokers or Lawn Thorns Crusaders. So that's one. Not going to give up hope. It's still a possibility, Blizzard. You can make it happen. You can make a Thorns Necro. I believe in you. Another interesting thing, with I have tons of experience going through and playing Allegromancer, the golems, of course, they did talk about at BlizzCon, and they talked about a little bit more here that they have th about three different golems worked out, and so they have room for a couple more golems to go through and create. I imagine that these are all going to be runes of one skill, and that you won't have multiple golems going running around. Partially because, the D2 Necromancer could only have one golem, the Gargantuan with the Witch Doctor. But hey, if you're gonna have multiple golem skills, by all means, I'll take them all. I'll definitely take them. The more minions running around, the better. And there was another question that made me think of the golems, not so much directly ties into it, but there was another question that people were asking: how are you going to deal in situations where there are no monsters to kill in order to generate corpses if you're going to have like a corpse explosion or some other type of skill build that relies upon this new resource mechanic for the Necromancer, the corpses? Like say you're going through and playing a Rift Guardian, and you have a finite number of corpses, or maybe it doesn't have any corpses because you spawned in a bad spot where you already went through and blew them all away. What are you going to be able to do in order to go through and refill that if it's a resource mechanic and you have no more monsters that could potentially spawn, since not all of the Rift Guardians spawn additional mobs for you to go and generate corpses for? And they said they're working on some things that will allow you to have a little bit of control over that. They didn't elaborate anything further from that. Of course, I'm going through and thinking, oh, you're going to have like a preparation skill where you go through and you click it and the Necromancer just like pulls some corpses out of his pockets and then just goes and throws it on the ground. That doesn't sound terribly interesting. Then I got it in my head. Since they're still going through and developing all these golem types, what about a grave golem? It's like a golem made out of like, cemetery, like tombstones and, cemetery or like the dirt from a cemetery and stuff like that. And whenever he goes through and moves around, he's just like periodically dropping corpses around him. And because he has to get in melee to go through and attack the monsters, these corpses that get dropped are always going to be dropping around, whatever it is that you're trying to blow up when you trigger these skills. And that was just like a little interesting idea that I had that they could potentially go and use as a way to give you corpses when you don't have any. Of course, not all builds might go through and want to, say, use a golem. That they might have other skills or mechanics that allows you to generate corpses passively or proactively or something like that. But I thought that it was a really cool thing that you could do of just like this golem that's just dropping corpses like left and right out of it. So you always have something to go and fuel your spells. Would be pretty cool. So there's a lot to still like theorize and try and guess and come up with ideas. Like they're still working on this stuff. So there's a lot to go and do. There's a lot of different ways that they could take the Necromancer. We don't even know how, like, anything outside of the BlizzCon demo. We have no idea what state the Necromancer is. They answered all these questions, but we don't know how they're working. Like, they're still, going through and building a lot of these things and making those mechanics work and just like kind of like still hammering in on those themes. So it's gonna be really interesting. I cannot wait to see what they have in store and what like these big archetypes of skills are going to be when we finally get to go through and play the Necromancer and have some fun with them. I cannot wait. This is something that I've been looking forward to for a very long time, and it makes me really excited with just a lot of the potential that they could do with the Necromancer class. Like especially with that blood skill, like going through and having kind of like this vampire-ishy leeching class that just goes through and, you know, absorbs the health of all the enemies around it. Of course, you know, if that same build does, you know, that would be super great for a hardcore player like myself. But it might be counteracted by the point that I have to sacrifice my life in order to cast the spells before it can go through and get returned. But it's gonna be pretty interesting. What they'll have involved with it. I guess a couple of the other things is that it should be noted that you will have to have the Reaper of Souls expansion to buy the Necromancer pack. And if you're listening to this show and don't have Reaper of Souls, get on it, type thing. But just in case you have a friend that maybe stopped playing in Classic and the Necromancer is what's going to bring them back to the game, make sure that they get Reaper beforehand. It will be a requirement. So just so that way they know. It's only, $20 for the expansion. It was just on sale recently for $10. So, yeah, no excuses. You can go through, get it, pick it up. It's really cheap, really easy. They still haven't announced what the offhand, I'm assuming offhand, item is going to be for the Necromancer, since most classes have two, set items or class specific items, where some have a little bit more, we don't know whether it's going to be like a wizard where it's just going to be the, wands and mojo. I've forgotten the name of it. They're offhand. Source. I remembered. I'm not bad. As opposed to the Witch Doctor, which has the dagger, the mojo, and then also the spirit mask. We'll have to wait and see what all they actually do with developing more class items. They did mention that there will be two-handed scythes for the Necromancer, in addition to the one-handed variety. I would love to see a return of the Shrunken Heads, even though that probably looks like it's going to be a little bit too much of an overlap with the Witch Doctors. Maybe they'll do like type of, we have the Crusader Shields, maybe we'll get a new type of shield. It'll be like the Bone Shield, and they'll transfer like the Lidless Wall, which I think was actually one of the questions. They asked specifically, will the Lidless Wall become a necro item? Because it shares like the model that they showed off, in the preview and such, where it has like this, shield made out of skulls and bones. And their answer to that one was maybe. Haven't thought about it yet. Itemization usually comes later in the process, so they're still figuring out the skills before they really do much with the way of items. We'll hear about that one later. But it's, oh man, oh man. It's going to be awesome. It is going to be awesome. I expect more geeking out about this as we continue to dive in further into these questions, as well as just like going through and getting Leviathan's feedback and his thoughts on the Necromancer. Though he did put out a video on his thoughts about it, if you check out his YouTube channel, sit down, talk, and bounce off our ideas of the skills and such. We'll have to go through and wait and see. There was one thing going back a little bit that I did forget to mention. Dang it. This goes back to the patch 2.5. In a couple of the previous episodes, we had talked about how we had some people going through and saying that seasons will be coming to consoles with season 10. But we could not find any actual source to confirm that. And now, while the official PTR patch notes do not specifically say that this will be the season, that season 10 will be the one, or patch 2.5 will be the one that brings seasons to console, there are some strings of code that were data mined in this patch, which does allude to that. That it says seasons are coming soon to console, prepare for new challenges, brave heroes. Whether that means that with the patch 2.5, for the console is hinting that season 10 will then be it, or if it's still just hinting that, oh yeah, it's coming soon. Not season 10, but it's coming soon. We'll still have to wait and see. I'm sure that there is going to be a bunch of things that could happen on the technical side, which could go through and delay that, and that's why they haven't said anything, because I still haven't found anything saying that officially that the goal is to get season 10 on consoles. But it is coming soon, and we do have that little bit there that it might in fact be season 10. Still remains to be seen. And while we're talking about data mine strings, the only other thing is that there were a couple little text changes for a couple of monsters that had gotten like the little strings note added. Death Dealer, Protector, the Educator, the Chicharian, the Lilas. And so there's in another thing called Skelly Charmed Rifts. So there's a couple of like little strings of miscellaneous code that's used with the description of monsters. Particularly, it's like Goatman Uniques and Shadow Clone Barbarians. Don't exactly know what it means or what if it's in reference to, or whether that's just stuff that they were going through and testing and just left in the code because it's too much to remove. Yeah. So we have no idea. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I have found myself now kind of out of things to talk about. We do have a couple of emails to go through and read, but we'll get to those in the next episode. Is getting a little bit late here since we started really late tonight. Thanks again for going through and stopping by and checking out the show. I do want to, of course, go through and give another thank you to our sponsors, Intel and Legion by Lenovo, as are going through and allowing us to do all the great things that we do by sponsoring us. We do really appreciate it. So go through, check them out, show them some love. You can follow them on Twitter. And then, of course, again, thanks to BlizzPro for giving us such an awesome platform of which to go through and host our shows. If you want to go through and send any of your thoughts, feedbacks, or items that you want to submit for Items of the Week, feel free to do that at westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. You can also go through and follow us on Twitter. We're at the WM Workshop if you want to go through and tweet at us. We actually have some really cool things. We have an artist. That has been going through and sending us some sketches that we had that we're going to go through and show off here on the next episode that are going to be really cool. I can't wait to go through and debut. Also, if you want to go through, you can catch us live. We're every other Wednesday night. We go live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And you can find us at twitch.tv/blizzpro. Come on out, join us in chat and hang out for the pre and the after show discussions if you want to go through and have fun going through and talking about that, or if you're listening to the audio only version, this doesn't really apply to you, but also going through and joining chat and playing the game of Where's Jar Jar that you might have been missing out for the last couple of months, and see if you can find him on screen where he might be. And while you're here, go ahead, if you like our show, click the follow button, and don't forget to go through and see all the lovely content that BlizzPro goes and provides. You can check us out Sunday nights, where we have the Well Met podcast, where we talk about Hearthstone. Tuesday nights is the Heroes Power Hour, which talks about everything Heroes of the Storm. Of course, every other Wednesday night, we're here at the Westmarch Workshop talking about Diablo, and Thursday nights is the Payload, our Overwatch podcast. And if you want to go through and support our shows, you can even go and hit the subscribe button to go through and directly support the host costs of the all of our podcasts as well as our website. And if you want to go through and find more discussions about the things that we talked about on the show, make sure to go through and check out our website, diablo.blizzpro.com, so to go through and find out all the latest news. We are also in game. You can check us out. We're the BlizzPro Clan. We're pretty much near about full right now. We do appreciate it if you send us an email to go through and say who you are. We will always give precedence to those people that take the time to go and send in an email application for those wanting to go through and join the clan. But people do go and time out and cycle out, if you're not active for a couple weeks, especially when we're full, you will get kicked. It's nothing personal. We'll always go through and let you back in, space permitting, of course. But we do usually take the time to go through and the people that email us first to, tell us who they are and why they're looking to join. We'll go through and give them a special spot. If you don't want to leave your current clan, you can always go through and join in and chat with us in our in-game community, Westmarch Workshop. Just go through and do a search for that to go and find us. You can also come and hang out and join and chat with us periodically throughout the week. Discord.gg/BlizzPro. I was actually on and chatting with a couple of clanmates last night on our Discord server. I was actually going through and talking with a couple of people that were in our clan and didn't even know what the Westmarch Workshop was. They didn't even know that we had a podcast. It was just like, oh yeah, I recognize your name because you're one of the moderators in the BlizzPro clan. What do you do? I do a podcast on Diablo. Oh, that's cool. I've never heard it. Oh, cool. So yeah, it was an interesting little discussion. But yeah, come join us, chat with us. I try to be in Discord as much as I can. It's normally late at night. It's after midnight Eastern usually. I might not be playing Diablo. I might be playing Heroes, especially like the last couple of weeks. It's just been I can deal with the lag and the ping issues in Heroes, but in Diablo that means a dead hardcore character, unfortunately. But yeah, and of course, if you like listening to me rant and you want me to listen to me rant about other stuff, maybe not necessarily all Diablo related, but some of my other geekier interests like Star Wars, StarCraft, Star Trek, Star Noun, and like Warhammer and stuff like that, you can go through and follow me at I'm at NineBallGamer on Twitter. And then I have been trying to do an effort to stream, but of course, once my schedule has freed up a little bit here, my internet has been shit, and as I learned earlier tonight with all my difficulties of streaming, but if you want to, you can go through and follow me at twitch.tv/nineball, and I will stream eventually one day, I promise. I've made that promise a lot, but I promise. And then for Sir not appearing in this episode, make sure that you also go through and show Leviathan some love. He's at LeviathanD3, so go through and tweet at him well wishes to help him on the road to recovery so that way he is no longer feeling sick. And also make sure that you go through and check out his streams, because he has been streaming near nonstop until this cold has gotten the better of him. And you can find him at twitch.tv/Leviathan111. And with that, pretty much wraps up the show, but oh my indeed, that sweet, sweet Necromancer FAQ, my dreams, I've been dreaming of death, and my psychologist says that's a bad thing, but I don't care, that's freaking awesome.